What is going on, everybody? My name is Mark Real, the Father's Rights Attorney, and you are listening to a new episode of the Father's Rights Playbook. And today on the Father's Rights Playbook, we have Real Father's Rights Senior Trial Attorney David Taub, and we're going to talk everything domestic violence restraining orders. David, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing just fine, Mark. Thanks for asking.
Great. Yes, definitely. So one of the biggest frustrations and really one of the scariest things men face in family court is the domestic violence restraining order. I would say here as a firm, we probably defend anywhere between 5 and 10 of them every single week.
That's true. So
let's start from the top. So a lot of men find out about restraining orders because the sheriff's department shows up at their job, shows up at their door, hands them a piece of paper, and either tells them they got to get out of their house right now or they can't go home. So in looking at that situation, so man gets served with a restraining order. What is your advice when you get handed that piece of paper, packet of paper? What's the next steps that a man should take?
The first immediate step is you can ask that deputy, that sheriff, may I have a couple of minutes to gather my items? And I can't stress enough, take advantage of that time as if it is granted to you. The sheriff will accompany you. But go ahead, if you have a home office, go to your home office. Maybe you should get a few essential pieces of paper, maybe insurance cards if you have kids. Make sure you grab those. Make sure you, bank books, bank information, passwords. Go ahead and get that. If you have a laptop in your home office or in the kitchen, grab it. Because I'll tell you, once you're out the door, you might never see that stuff again. It's going to magically disappear on you.
And even when we get into court, there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to get you back in the house in any timely fashion.
No, that's absolutely right. And I'll tell you, timing is one of the most frustrating things. Once you're served that restraining order and you're told to get out, and you do get out, you may think you're going to go to court at the hearing date. You may hire a firm like ours, ready to go forward and fight for your rights. And we may show up with the best intentions. And the petitioner may be too sick to go forward. She calls in. She has a bad cold. She gets a continuance. Because
COVID excuse over the last few years.
Oh, my gosh. COVID, like crazy. And during COVID, the scheduling always got extended out further and further because you had judges, you had clerks, you had staffing, people at court who were sick as well.
Showed up in court. The judge isn't there that day because they're sick.
That's right. And there's nothing you can do but get another court date. There's no going to another judge in most cases. When it comes to this, I don't want to get technical, but there is a code section that allows you to ask for one continuance. And if you're a non-represented client, and you're the restrained party, and you need to seek out a firm like ours, you can go into court, not argue your case, but simply say, I need more time, I would like a continuance. And most of the time, the courts have actually offer that to you without prompting, and you take it. You take advantage of that. There's no judgment on you whatsoever for needing counsel. And I highly advise get proper counsel for a DVR, for a restraining order. You need it for the most part. But in what I was talking about before was the protected party. And look.
And the protected party is the one that filed.
Right. The one that filed and the one that had you served. There are legitimate restraining orders. Of course there are. Unfortunate situations where battery does occur, where emotional abuse occurs, harassment, annoying behavior can lead to a restraining order. And there are legitimate reasons for it. But in my career, in my experience, more often than not, the other parent uses a restraining order as a sword, as a way to hit back at that father. In my career, it is the father. It is a way to get a head start on your divorce because that parent will go ahead and temporarily grab the children, grab your house, grab everything away from you, and kick you out the door. What I was talking about was the protected party using it as a sword and continuing the matter to simply frustrate you. They come into court with a new attorney. And this attorney, I'll tell you, when you're representing the protected party, most good seasoned attorneys can go in and on the spot start the case. Not a problem. Do they do so? Absolutely not. they have a party and a client that is saying, I want more time, and frankly, I want to frustrate that restrained parent. And they use it to their advantage to buy another 20 to 30 days, which keeps our clients out of the loop, potentially.
Well, there's two pieces. There's two really big pieces you mentioned there. That using the restraining order as a sword, not a shield. Using it offensively. I always tell people, I tell men, the only court documents that the court has a dedicated person to help someone fill out is to request a restraining order. You can show up to the courthouse, and if you're in Riverside, you're going to go up to the third floor, and they're going to tell you exactly what you need to file. And then they're going to direct you to organizations that know exactly how to get a temporary restraining order granted. And so that's a huge, huge challenge is instead of going and filing for a divorce, hey, I need him out of the house. Hey, I want custody of the kids. And you have these organizations, I'm sure started with good intentions, that essentially are just mills that are pumping out and know exactly what to say to get a temporary restraining order.
They are. And a lot of these organizations, they're funded by either the county or they're funded by people with good intentions to help those that need restraining orders. But in order to keep the funding going...
The VAWA funding, you got to file so many restraining orders.
That's right. That's right. And they are clued in on how to do it the right way to make sure you get that temporary restraining order granted. And that's the kicker. A lot of judges, a lot of commissioners, they will grant the restraining order, giving the benefit of the doubt that there might be a modicum of truth to what that protected party is saying. Yeah. And they want to err on the side of caution because they do want to protect, especially if there's children involved, and make sure there's some breathing room. We had one judge up in San Bernardino, now retired, who automatically, she would grant the temporary restraining order. And she would tell my clients, who are the restrained parties, look, I haven't even really looked at the facts that carefully, but I see that we need a cooling off period. So come back in 25 days to try your case. We'll send you guys to mediation in the meantime. Maybe you can work something out in the meantime. Rarely have I seen anything get worked out when there's already a temporary restraining order granted. So the restrained party, boy, what an uphill challenge they face, and they usually need a lot of help from organizations and firms like us.
Well, let's talk about how they can help themselves and how they can work with an attorney who's skilled and qualified to defend these. I think I would put our record up against just about any firm in California in terms of what we do here. But someone comes in, they hire us, and we'll say you got 2 weeks until your restraining order hearing. What advice would you have for guys out there in terms of helping your attorney build the strongest defense and ultimately win these restraining order hearings?
Well, one thing I would say to do is do your homework on yourself. Remember every county where you might have had a hiccup, a problem with the police, a problem with a misdemeanor or a felony. I'm very surprised from time to time when I'm seated in front of the judge with a client who didn't tell me that they failed to appear at their hearings on a summary probation for an old domestic violence matter from maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it turns out they have an outstanding warrant. All the work I did to prepare for that case goes out the window because the judge will see that outstanding warrant.
And unfortunately, that's happened more than once to our attorneys.
Leaving
a case, even sometimes that we've won, but the client leaves in handcuffs because of something they didn't tell us.
Quite right. Talk to your attorney and tell them everything. We have an attorney-client privilege here. We don't go shouting to the hills what you're talking about, but we need to know everything about you and about your past and your cases.
We've probably heard worse.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. I've been doing this, almost 17 years now. Mm-hmm. I've heard almost every story imaginable, and I'm still surprised every year.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I think that's a big key is you have to be totally honest.
Right.
If there is something, if there is a text message out there, if there is an Instagram message, if there is maybe a recording or a video, you need to let your attorney know that that's something that may be out there. Because we can defend bad facts. We can defend bad pieces of evidence for you if we know about them.
Right. Right. And now let's talk about the facts that are alleged within the DVRO documents themselves. You're going to be served some documents which are going to talk about specific incidences. The last incident, the second to last, the third to last. I've seen eight. I've seen 10. And you're going to...
100-page filings, yeah.
Sure. You're going to work with attorneys like us to go through every incident, and we're going to take it apart. And we're gonna see if there's a defense to it, if we have proof or an alibi or something to show that those facts don't hold any water. And after you've established one or two incidences are simply phony baloney, and the judge knows that, the case moves along rather quickly afterward. And it allows us to possibly, at the end of the protected party's testimony, to simply stand up and say, Your Honor, they don't have a case here. Can we have it dismissed? And yeah. We do get them dismissed.
That's a really good point. A lot of times DVs end up being credibility contests. Who's the most credible?
Right.
It's going to be he said, she said. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the most effective way to defend a restraining order is you literally go line by line and pick everything apart, because it could be something totally unrelated. A lot of times domestic violence restraining order requests get filed by just the person. No attorney, no nothing, and they usually say too much. And I feel like there's some restraining orders that get won because the party said too much, and it lost them credibility because we were able to pick it apart.
I agree. I agree, and that's why you need some experts like us. We can pick those things apart with a fine-tooth comb. We have the training. We have the experience to knock out those allegations, because they've said too much. They've extended themselves out too much. Their stories are simply nonsensical, non-believable. And we present it to the court in such a way, piece by piece, to show that the facts alleged could not have happened. And as I said, you get a couple of incidents put together like that, you've gotten a dismissal.
Yeah. I think one of the big things, and there's a few judges that are notorious for this. Let's talk about you get to your day in court. You get the chance to have your case put on. What advice would you give to guys about showing up to court, how to act, how to handle yourself when you do get that opportunity?
Well, if we're talking visually showing up in front of the judge, you know what? Act as if you're going. If you're a person of worship, act like you're going to a service. You know, dress up for it. Be contrite. Be respectful to the judge. Look at the judge. Look at your counsel. Do not look at the other side. Don't even glance at them, because you're not concerned with what's going on in their head. You're not concerned about the other side and their actions of bringing you here today and inconveniencing you, because any sort of a dirty look or
body language,
you know, the eyes half closed, peering over, the judge sees everything.
Aggressively shaking your head that didn't happen.
Right. And I've, on more than one occasion, I've had to very quietly say, shut up, to the other client.
I'm sure you said it that nicely, too.
Oh, I'm one of the nicer ones out there. you know that. We have to show a certain, you know, one of the things we do is client control.
Yeah.
And we coach the client as much as possible to be respectful, and not so much coach them, but bring it out, saying, it's okay. This is the time not to go up battling at this point. We do the battling for you.
Yeah.
We do it in our own legal way, effective way, in front of the judge, where we get you the result you want.
Well, this thing, a lot of men, they come in, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to attack her. I'm sorry, but a domestic violence restraining order, unless you both have filed one, it's a one-way proceeding.
That's right.
We have no reason to go after them other than their credibility. It doesn't matter if you say they've committed domestic violence against you. This is about your actions towards them.
You've heard the phrase whataboutism?
Yeah.
There's no whataboutism in a DVRO hearing.
Yeah.
It is, you cannot turn it around and point to them at any sort of thing they might have done unless you file your own DVRO. And quite frankly, a lot of the judges and commissioners will look at who filed the DVRO first. And if yours looks more responsive, to have your day in court, to give a whataboutism where you might have extended yourself out as well on your DVRO, not very effective.
Yeah, that brings up a really good point. A lot of guys get worked up when we say, hey, we're not going to file a response. What's your my theory on this is you're not required to file a response in a domestic violence restraining order. And my theory is you put as little on paper as possible because it's a credibility contest. And if you put it on paper, then you're going to have, the story's going to have to sound similar and credible twice.
Right. And why give your client any sort of a burden to show that the response that they're giving is more credible than the response they're giving? The restrained the protected party, they have the burden here,
yeah,
to make their case and prove that their allegations are there's a preponderance of evidence backing up what they are saying. There is no burden on the restrained party to rise up there. Mm-hmm. Our burden is simply to knock down any sort of credibility and any sort of to show that there's no truth.
Yeah.
To what the protected party is alleging.
And I guess that's the benefit of having experienced counsel that have been in front of some of these judges. We know exactly there are some judges where you, one ding in credibility and you know you've won. There are other judges where you know you're going to have to go line by line and absolutely undercut the story completely to get a dismissal.
Yes, some judges, and we know which ones are out there, they take into account maybe the protected party is worried, or maybe they're off their game a little bit because they're nervous. They didn't say it quite the right way. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt that we think we know what they meant. Fortunately, those judges and commissioners are in the minority. We have a good set of judiciary right now in Riverside and San Bernardino County. We also know how to individually work with every judge and every commissioner in every department. We're a team here at the firm, and just as judges and commissioners talk about attorneys, we talk about the judges as well, and
regularly,
and we plan accordingly. All respect to the judiciary. When I say this, we work with them as sort of a back and forth team to see that justice is done and see that the truth is heard.
Yeah, definitely. Well, David, thank you so much for providing so much information on restraining orders and how men can successfully navigate that. For all of our viewers and listeners, thank you for watching or listening to another episode of the Father's Rights Playbook. We'll see you guys all again next week.